Welcome to another episode of Film Streak. My name is Rob, and again with me here is Jesus.
How you doing, Rob?
Now, you're going to hear the sound is much different because the festival is now in full swing.
Yeah, it's kicking right now.
Yeah, we were recording the previous episode when it was kind of quiet. It was a little bit of a downtime.
Yeah.
But now, things are really kicking off. So the music's going. The drinks are flowing.
One of their sponsors is a tequila company.
Right.
And they haven't sponsored this show, so I won't say which company unless you want to...
They're guaranteed that things are going to get a little loose here. So... if you don't remember the last episode, you didn't listen to it, that's okay. We are at Houston Latino Film Festival. This is the 7th annual festival.
That's right.
And we're here in Houston, Texas. First, I got to say much thanks to the guys here, the festival crew. That's David Cortez, Dave Sobrero, and Pedro Rivas, and including you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Who... is not only part of the selection panel, right?
That's right, the program.
But also doing a lot of moderating and hosting.
And the Q&As afterwards, kind of talking with the filmmakers afterwards.
So you're getting to see a lot of the films, and you're also getting to talk to a lot of the filmmakers, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly right.
So the cool thing here is, this is why I wanted you on it, is just like in the last episode, we can really go into some depth with the films.
Right, exactly.
So now, let's pick up where we left off. If you want to find out more information about the festival, you can listen for later. I'll even put this in the show notes, a link to the website, and so that way you can find out when the next festival is coming, or even if there are other events related to the festival that you can check out in the Houston area. So, let's get into it. We're going to go straight to where we left off. Film Streak 222, Sanson and Me.
Señor Reyes, ¿sabe por qué no hay paz? Porque el diablo tiene todo el mundo en sus manos.
Se te determinó culpable de todos los cargos. Cadena perpetua sin posibilidad de libertad condicional. Querido Sansón, mi nombre es Rodrigo Reyes. Yo soy el intérprete que trabajó contigo durante tu juicio. También soy un director de cine. Me pregunto si quieres embarcarte en una aventura conmigo.
Creo que ya vamos a estar listos. Ok.
Sansón y yo, escena 1, toma 1.
Yo soy el Sansón, nací en Tecomán, en la mera cuna de Mr. Satán. En mi callejón del Valle Querido, pasan las 12, se escucha un ladrido. Junto a mi jacal de cartón se aparece ese señor.
Yo soy el diablo. Y vengo a jalarte pa' que conmigo aprendas el arte de ser un gran jefe con su propio cártel. Con drogas y fierro nadie va a tocarte. ¿Qué dices, mi cuate? ¿Quieres vivir recio? Nomás dame tu alma, es muy poco el precio.
Rodrigo, dicen que cuando se cierran las puertas de la cárcel, se abren las ventanas del entendimiento.
Hasta el día en que nos lleve la muerte.
All right, so, Jesus, this film, this is a really different type of film, right?
Right.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. It's a documentary that's taken over a decade to kind of put together for the director. It tells not so usual story, but maybe a story that needs to be heard about a young man who kind of made the wrong decisions and found himself in prison for attempt or murder.
Right.
And his whole story is about he didn't do it, And but no one really believes them because the way the laws are set up, if you're involved in a murder, you in some states, you can actually be charged with this, you know, just as like if you pulled a trigger.
Right.
Like, say if you were the guy driving the car in this case. Mm-hmm. But any part of it, you know what I mean? You could be charged for murder. And so, and he's a kind of a reluctant player in the documentary at first, but maybe he starts saying, you know what, I do want to tell my story now. It's important, but it's hard to know, put yourself in the mind of someone who's been through that.
Right.
And this is I think the director does a really great job of putting us in the mind of this young man.
Right. And so the basic structure of the film, it starts as a documentary. Oh, no, I take it back. It starts actually as a reenactment.
Right.
Right?
That's
right. Of Sanson's youth.
Yep.
So when he was a child, when he was a young man, a teenager, but using his family.
His own family to make it. Yeah,
right.
It was really interesting, really intriguing.
And you might think, I mean, it's presented in the film. There are questions about, is this really the right story to tell? Is this a story worth depicting of someone who's convicted of crimes? And by accounts, you know, according to the legal system, he's guilty of these crimes.
Right.
And is that something, is that a person that's deserving of this kind of telling of their story? And you could argue that back and forth, right?
Like, right.
Whether that's necessary.
Well, that's the criticism.
Yeah.
I think the director even relays and uncovers that
right.
he himself doesn't know if this is, you know,
right.
does he need all this flack, you know, from the outside on why would you cover a story for someone who'll never get out of prison? Because usually you cover this kind of story and like the guy gets out.
Yep.
And then it's a great documentary. Well, what about a documentary where you're covering a guy who should be in prison?
Right.
What does that say about you as a director?
And I think the power of that, like the answer to that question, the power comes from the reenactments, really.
Right.
Because, you know, all the people that play him and his family, they're actually his real family. Like his nephew plays him.
Right.
And his sister plays his mother.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when you have different family involved and they're already living with the real pain.
Yes.
That his situation and just their lifestyle, you know, I'm trying to remember where it was exactly that he grew up, but it was a poor part of town or a poor part of the country. And it was a matter of really trying to convey the living conditions and
right.
even the way of life, you know,
right.
the treatment that he had as a child. Maybe those things all contributed to him basically ending up where he ended up.
Did he have a child?
Yes.
I mean, the story was he was just going to the store and his cousin or something was like, hey, give me a ride.
Right.
And that ride ended up being
right.
a shooting.
Yes.
And which he was involved in. And then he goes to prison.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all just like, hey, I was just going to the store. I had no idea what really the ride was for.
Right.
Yeah.
So when it gives you that context, you know, of not only here's the man and here's the things that happened to him, but here's the area, the part of the world that he's from, and how hard it is, the struggle, you know, the hardship that everybody there faces, and you see it portrayed,
yeah.
even though it's reenacted, like you have to assume not a lot has changed there since he was actually there.
Right.
Right?
Right.
The thing I took away from this, the film, is that it's illustrating that when you grow up in this environment, maybe you don't have the opportunities, you don't have the resources, you don't have the maybe even the understanding of the rest of the world.
Right.
So there aren't as many roads you can go down in life.
Yep.
And
it's almost like it's a cycle of, you know, say poverty
yeah.
and lack of resources to get out. So his nephew, I guess, who's played, could actually go down the same road. It may just happen again.
Yeah, and that's I guess a product of making a film about him using his family in the same environment, and you see the director actually having to deal with the family and the emotions and them trying to come to grips with everything that is involved with this story. I mean,
right.
it's It's an interesting look, almost like behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But you're seeing it in front of the camera.
I've never seen a documentary told this way.
Right.
Yeah.
Where the director is kind of part of the story.
He's part of the story. It's the reenactment part of it,
yeah.
Using your own family to do a documentary about you. And it's like, every documentary has a narrative in a way. Even though it's documentaries are supposed to be just telling kind of the facts, it's not true, really.
Right.
Sometimes it does... it does lean a certain way. I like this one that it doesn't necessarily lean any way, and he's very, it's very honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's
a very important scene where he explains to Sansom, the director, he explains, like, I'm not making this film to overturn your case or to get you out of prison. Like, that's not going to be the goal here.
Right.
The goal is more or less just to illustrate your life, for good or bad, how it played out, and maybe at least help other people understand this is the environment that you came out of, and maybe that's why you're here, for one reason or another,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting examination, but you're right. It doesn't really judge,
yeah.
You know, whether he's guilty or not guilty. Like, that's already established based on he's convicted.
Right.
So,
this very well could be like your Latino New Kids on the Boys in the Hood.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
Sure.
In a way,
yeah.
it leave out the documentary part. It's one of those stories you can't write, you know, or it would be a movie. And it's like you said, it looks like a really good movie,
yeah.
Until you're like, wait, they're telling a story about a real person.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you know, on those strengths, I think it's a very unique and a really unconventional approach to a documentary.
Right.
And it's not the presentation of it, the staging of the reenacted scenes. They feel there's an authenticity to them.
Right.
You know, even though it's his family, they're not actors, they're not performers, and he has to show what the idea is of the scene or of the moment. Because all of these scenes that are reenacted, they're based on Sanson's own retelling, right, through letters.
Yes, exactly.
So he's kind of following Sanson's point of view, but he's got to still get a certain level of performance out of people who are not actors and maybe don't even want to do this, you know.
And I've seen documentaries being made, it's not easy.
Yeah.
To when you have an idea as, say, a filmmaker in your mind, you're thinking, hey, I need them to say this, or I want them to say that. Well, it looks like he did a really good job of just letting it happen organically.
Right.
And however it may be, it's getting good here.
Yeah.
It's getting good here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You hear the noise. That's good. That's all right. We're really here. We're not faking it.
Yeah, we're not faking it. This isn't, canned audio.
Right.
Yeah, this is a Houston Latino Film Festival. We're right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, look, in that respect, Sanson to me is a recommendation, of course. It's a great film. It's a very interesting story. It's a look at a life that is very challenged, and by a filmmaker who really took a novel approach to this.
Absolutely.
So, that's one that whenever you have an opportunity to watch it and you're interested in this type of a story about, you know, what life can be like for someone who's in prison, maybe unjustly so, maybe not, but understanding their background and understanding the life that they must have led to get to that place, this is a pretty novel approach to telling that story.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's worth watching.
Yeah.
And I do see documentaries going this route where it is a mix of, you know, actual filmmaking happening in the process,
right.
And then using what you got to make it. Like, hey, you're reenacting a lot of this stuff. I'm not going to go find a casting agent. I'm going to use these people, the people closest to this story, to make it, which was really interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Unique.
Yeah. So that's Sanson and Me, and we're going to keep it moving now.
Yeah.
Now that we're well into the festival here. All right, so next up on Film Streak, we've got 223. This is Gods of Mexico.
Alex,
All right, so Jesus, this is a very interesting film also.
Absolutely. You know?
And let me just, before we get into the film, so many of the films here, so many of the selections, and props to you and the selection panel for really picking some interesting stuff. This is probably one of the more, let's say, abstract choices. Yep. And I don't know, what do you want to... You want to kind of dive into what exactly?
Sure. So it's a I call it a landscape of the rural Mexico and the people who are living in there. But it's told in very crisp visuals. Mm-hmm. It's non-narrative, right? It's a documentary, and it just visually takes you through what Mexico is about. To yesterday, today, and possibly the future, and what is that future of Mexico? What will that be?
Right. Yeah, I think the way it's broken up is very unique. You know, there's a kind of a bookend, like a framing device. You start with a segment. It's titled White, right?
Right. And
there's no dialogue in this film at all.
Right. Right.
I mean, we're just watching. For most of this, we're watching. People at work, right. In these rural, kind of outdoor, rugged settings. Mm-hmm. And the first segment, we're watching, what are we watching?
The first segment is sort of the land and, yeah. and like, you know, it's, I wasn't sure what I was, when I first started watching it, like you said, do not wait for someone to start talking. Do not wait for like, yeah. here's what it is. Here's what it is. Just open your eyes and take it in. Like not in the traditional sense. It's like candy for the eyes. Like use your eyes.
And your ears. The sound design and the sound editing is really crucial to this.
Right.
You know, when you've got these visuals that are so amazing, but there's no words, there's no dialogue. I mean, there are some moments where people talk to each other,
right?
But it's not, there's no narrative arc to it. So the sound design, when you're just hearing these people working, digging, hitting something with a hammer or lighting a fire, that sound design is so crucial, I think.
Right.
Because you only have two senses to work with.
In that way, it's intimate. It brings you close.
Yeah.
And if you kind of turn off your other senses, right? Yeah. Like if you turn off the sense of like, oh, I'm going to be told a story. Just cut that out, you know, and just watch.
It's just an experience.
It's just an experience, really. Yeah. It's like, it's better than just driving through Mexico. You get to see it and all its wonder. It's wondrous to watch.
So can you, here's what I was getting at, though.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what it is that we're watching in the first segment?
I can't, really.
I mean, all I can best describe it is some kind of farming.
Right. And there's salt. There's like a salt like farm.
Right.
And you see some people working it. And then you see like really close up of
like digging a hole, like a fire pit.
Yeah.
But like a giant fire pit, I guess.
Yeah.
It was really, that was part of it. Part of the intrigue is I'm not really sure what I'm watching here.
I'm not really sure.
And, you know, the thing it calls to mind is You've seen There Will Be Blood, right?
There Will Be Blood, yeah.
So do you remember the opening of that film?
Yep.
Where Daniel Plainview,
yes.
He's out in California, he's digging for oil.
Right, he's
and no
dirty
dialogue.
And grimy. And
we're just watching him go down this pit, yep. And he's not digging for oil, digging for gold.
Gold.
And he hits oil.
Right.
But that whole segment, that whole opening part of the film, we're just watching someone work. And just the, it's like mesmerizing of, okay, what happens next? And what's the next step? And then he's doing this, and why? And as a lot of this film is like that, or I felt like it.
Yeah.
You're watching a process, even if you're not sure what the process is.
Exactly.
And towards the end of the film, we get a similar thing where there are men in caves and they're mining, I guess.
Yep.
And even, it almost doesn't even matter what they're there doing.
Right.
Just the fact that you're watching it happen, you're watching these people put in that elbow grease. They're actually doing the hard work. Where, you know, I don't know if that's part of the overall message of the film, maybe, is to illustrate the rugged nature of Mexican people.
Right. Where they come from, how are they able to sustain themselves, really?
Right. Because we don't necessarily get, you know, I think maybe like the title, the subtitle is like a portrait of Mexico and its people, or people and its nation, or nation and its people.
Yeah.
And, you know, technically, I wouldn't say this is a portrait of an entire country, because we don't see all parts of Mexico and all walks of life.
There isn't like the urban, there's like the urban part.
Right, the more contemporary society that we might normally think of. This is really, it's almost a look at like an ancient way of life.
Exactly.
And the thing that makes me think of that is the four segments that are in the film, like the middle part of the film, where it's not even still photography, but it looks like it, right? It's just black and white.
Yeah, it's static.
Very stark, static poses. And they're broken into four different segments based on north, east, west, south. And they're all named after Aztec gods, right? These are the gods of Mexico.
Right.
And
that's the name.
So I thought, okay, now I get, I think, what we're going for here.
Yeah.
We're looking at a real ancient perspective on this way of life.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So it was an interesting, like, melding of ideas there.
Absolutely.
And the fact that it illustrates all of those, I guess, regions or walks of life. And there's really no repetition, you know?
Yeah.
You got north. It's very different from west. It's very different from east and south.
The diversity of Mexico, really, if you don't know anything about Mexico, this would be like a good beginning.
Right.
It's not Mexico City, which is, you know, as we all know, it's a hyper city. You know, it's 20 million people. That's not this. It's what Mexico might still look like in 1,000 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think this at least gives us a very... Like I said, it's very abstract. It's sometimes very surreal.
Very surreal.
You recognize the people and the locations, but because you're not really sure the context, sometimes it just feels like I don't know what I'm watching. I'm just going with
it. Your eye has to take a minute to like kind of focus in. I'm like, oh, there's a person there.
Yeah.
Or wait, you see some movement, and then you're like, oh wait. There's...
Yeah. So in that way, it's very much, it's almost like a tone poem, right? It feels very much like a very meditative kind of look at
ethereal
the countryside.
Yeah,
exactly. And so in that regard, I mean, it's a very different experience. It's not a conventional narrative structure. So it's definitely one to take in and just go for it. Just let it wash over you, right?
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So that, any other thoughts on Gods of Mexico?
No.
Okay. No. So look, that's one to check out. I don't know where you might ever see that. That feels like a very... Very much like something that would get art house play.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be. I imagine the cachet of it will find itself into people's homes and somewhat.
For sure. So all right, so let's keep it moving. That was Gods of Mexico, and let's get to the next film here. All right, so next up we've got Film Streak 224, The Pool of Nobodies.
córrele, putito.
No vale verga tu gallo, güey.
Eso, chingón. Si yo sabía que iba a jalar, güey. A huevo, cabrón.
A ver, salta la verde. La pistola.
Pues ya, ¿no?
Vas a traerlo bien cortito. Porque si la caga, a ti te lleva la verga, pato.
Sí, señor.
Por lo pronto que se ponga a limpiar.
¿Limpiar qué?
La verga de los nadies. And it's funny. Okay, so I don't know what you do when you see a film that's translated.
Uh-huh.
Like, I thought a pool would be like piscina.
Sure.
But I looked it up, all right? Because I'm like, wait a minute. I thought pool was, and I saw a verga.
Uh-huh.
Okay. A verga is like is also can be considered a reservoir.
Okay.
See, a pool.
Yeah.
To get a little, you know, nerdy here. A pool seems like it will always have the same amount of water.
Right.
A reservoir can rise and fall,
yes.
Right? And when you think of a pool of nobodies, this film is really, I feel like, more like a reservoir that sometimes rises with people. And when I started thinking about that more of like a not so much of a pool, but as a reservoir of people, it changed my mind about it a little bit.
Oh yeah, yeah. It really gives you a new context.
A new context, yeah.
And so to just kind of set up the premise of the film, it almost plays in real time, right? When
exactly.
You say it feels like you're watching things happen minute by minute.
Right.
So the runtime of the film, like that's the actual time that these events are happening.
Right. Exactly right.
And where we start out, it's a young man, but it's a man who's basically held captive and how would we say? I mean,
recruited. He's recruited by the gang.
Yeah.
Maybe they're a group. He's part of a group of people that like was trying to immigrate.
Yeah.
With maybe some coyotes.
Yeah.
And then like maybe a gang kidnapped those people from the coyotes.
Right.
And now they've recruited this young man because he looks like he can probably help manage the other people somehow.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's a kind of a little bit of a turncoat situation, I guess.
Exactly.
Right? Which is really
by necessity, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We find out he has
The idea is that we're getting a look at, I think you expressed it before we recorded, kind of the immigrant or the worst of the immigrant experience.
Yeah.
Right? We're seeing these people that are being held captive, maybe on their way to the US or just passing through Mexico, let's say. In search of a better life, obviously, and this is the last place you would have wanted to end up.
Exactly.
On this compound or this camp,
yep.
Where people are just held in rooms, and they're pulled from those rooms maybe to work or to possibly be taken somewhere else.
They're trying, and then this gang is trying to see if they can get a ransom.
Yes.
Like from like who? Which one of you has ransom? If you don't have a ransom, or if you don't pretend like you're worth something,
yeah.
You might be gone anyway.
Right.
And
that's a really disturbing aspect of it is these people have to now prove their value as a human being, and if they can't, is that saying the people that are holding them, they see them as worthless? Right. I mean, I think that's the idea.
And that's what we have to deal with that cutthroat.
Yeah.
Nature of this film, of what the coyotes and these gangs do with the immigrants that are trying to go reach for a better life, escape political and economic persecution wherever they're at. When this film came across, and I felt I pushed it to Pedro and the other programmers as a story that needed to be told, and they were like, well, where do we put it?
Yeah.
Where do we put this kind of film? Obviously, it's not really a good or a film for children to watch. I mean, they might watch it and not really know what's going on.
Yeah.
But as an adult, you know exactly what's going on here.
Yeah.
People are being held captive.
Mm-hmm.
They're facing murder.
Yep.
I mean,
Or worse.
There's a pregnant lady who's, they ask, which one of y'all can cook?
Right.
So there's, I can cook. I mean, even if she didn't know how to cook, she's like,
I'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out. Yeah. Hey, get the, and so, proving your worth. It's like to your humanity, proving that you're worth something or death.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the real chilling aspect of the whole thing is to have to do that on the spot. And maybe you don't, that's not what you're used to, as most of us probably. It's like, we just go about our lives.
Right.
I don't have to prove minute by minute that I'm worth staying alive. And that's why I think it's important that to point out this film really does play like that. Like, it goes minute by minute.
Minute by minute.
Every moment, every time a new character walks into a room or something else happens, you're not sure if somebody's about to die. And it's really, it creates a real tension throughout the whole film where at any moment, it's unpredictable. You just don't know what's going to happen.
What a terrific way of bringing the audience into it. The way it's stylistically that film is told. The director really, really brought us in using that film technique where you just kind of like, it's like a lot of continuous takes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, where you're walking in the door with someone, you're sitting down at a table, and then you're, the character who's kind of recruited, you see his reaction to things, and he's having to make real-time decisions about his life, and you're like, what is this guy going to do now? Like, I mean, is he going to shoot somebody just to prove he's worth something to these guys? Like, what is he going to do?
There are moments, because of the camera work also, it's shot really interestingly with this wide-angle lens, and very shallow focus, so you see somebody in the foreground very clearly, but somebody right behind them, you're not clear like what exactly might be happening.
Right.
And then the camera work, it almost feels improvised. It feels very documentary-like.
Yeah, it does.
Like at any moment, this camera could turn a certain way and you might see something really horrible, right? Or the character might have to do something really horrible.
What a great use of the camera, camera work in that way, in that regard,
I mean, it really does add a layer of suspense. Even though it's a very slow build, just because of the nature of the situation everybody is in, you just don't know what's gonna happen. And the camera isn't afraid to turn and show you something really screwed up, And so when you have that kind of looming over you as an audience member, as a viewer, it's very tense.
Current events have, like, I don't know if you heard about the former like FBI guy in Mexico was in prison, or with the U.S. finally put him in prison. How much that the government and the military actually work with these gangs? So they address that in the film. The head gang leader was like, didn't we pay these guys off? Because at some point they're being attacked, right? And they had to wait a minute, what's going on here? Didn't we pay them off? Well, how true to life is that? Mm-hmm. That these gangs are working in concert with the government officials so they can stay out of their way, so they can continue business as usual.
Yeah.
We saw those people getting, Americans who went over, probably for nefarious reasons anyways. I'm not sure, I have to read more about that, but a couple of them got killed.
Yeah.
And the gang said, oh, you know what? Sorry, we didn't mean to kill those people. And then they turned in their own guys. I mean, there's this whole thing going on in the cartels and in these gangs that may not know about as an American. I mean, even living in Texas, this stuff is going on right across the border.
Right, and it's a whole machine. I mean, as soon as you're caught up in it or accidentally,
or by force, like the protagonist of this movie.
Right, right. So, I think. I think this film really says a lot more, like, to speak to what you're saying, it says a lot more than it maybe appears.
Right.
You know, it's on the surface, it's about this guy who's trying to survive this situation for an hour and a half or whatever it is. But it really is, there are layers of how did he get there? How could he possibly get out of this? And what happens to the other people that are there with him? What happens to his captors, right? So when you start to point all of those arrows at the situation, it's like, oh yeah, this is really, there's a whole other network of things that are leading to this kind of situation.
Yeah.
And the fact that at the end of the film, I don't want to give much away, yeah, but it's mentioned that there is another camp. There are other camps like this.
Yeah, let's move on to see where else we can...
Yeah, so it's not like, oh, this is just an odd fluke situation, you know?
Right, so, right. It's a network.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a corporation, you know, for them. It's business as usual. And they work kind of with impunity, you know? And that's why I really push for this as one of the programmers and Pedro, the programming director, Pedro Rivas. And I really said, hey, as queasy as it makes you feel, that is a good thing. That is what we have to do,
right,
as a part of this festival, is not just put movies that are like, we talked about Carajita, that it's way more subtle,
right,
about what's going on in these countries. This is really happening very close to us, and we have to be aware of that.
And a note that I made here is that this is based on a real incident, yeah, right? Where in 2010, there were actually 73 people that were killed. And was it San Fernando, Tamaulipas? So, you know, the fact that not only is this a very disturbing, kind of harrowing story in this film, but it happened to real people. And in a way, I'm sure this is also meant as a tribute to that, and as a kind of throwing the flag up of like, we need to pay attention to this kind of thing and look how horrible it is, right?
Yeah.
So, I think when you look at it that way, like, this film is really important, and I'm glad you pushed for it and really understood the depths of it, because this kind of story, yeah, you like to think this kind of thing doesn't happen, right? Or it's very rare.
Right.
But the fact that this may be more routine and more... more of a almost a casual thing for some of these people, like it's just a way of, part of life, that's something that shouldn't be. And to raise awareness and to make sure that these kinds of things aren't happening again or can be prevented somehow, I mean, I'm sure that's part of making this film and pushing it out there. Yeah. So
I can't wait to see it again, to be honest. Like I'm like And not because I'm like a glutton for this stuff, or I love seeing, you know, hard-hitting topics, but because I do want to keep it fresh. Like, you don't want to forget, you know. Yeah. It's like how you felt maybe when you went on these retreats, and maybe like when you were a kid and you'd get this feeling when you got back, hey, I need to change something, I need to do something. And then after 2 weeks of like living at home, you're like, you know, you're back to being like a snotty brat. But you have to kind of... Is it, you know, if there's a way to kind of keep these kind of stories in your mind, so you say, hey, this is really a reality, really, on our planet.
Yeah. All right, man. So any other thoughts? We summed that one up pretty good. It's definitely a watch. It's definitely something to check out. My understanding is that it's relatively new, a new production, and it's doing the festival run, the circuit. So... I certainly hope it gets more attention. That's certainly part of the idea of talking about it here.
Sure.
And if it's somewhere that's available to watch, one day streaming or in a theater, give it a chance. Give it a go and share it with anybody that needs to know about this kind of a story. I think it's really important.
Yeah. Don't look away at reality.
Look, that's been another episode here from the Houston Latino Film Festival. This is the 7th annual festival. And if you want to find out more about this year or the coming year or any other events related to the festival, go to HoustonLatinoFilmFestival.org. You can see what's new there. You can sign up to get email updates. I need to thank especially everyone here at the festival, all the volunteers for all the work they're doing. We've even got Abraham on the decks up there.
Yep.
He's the one providing music and
entertaining you while we speak.
Right, exactly. So everyone here, they've been doing a great job. This festival has really grown in the last several years, and I'm happy to be a part of it. Like I said before, meeting good people like you, Jesus.
Oh, thanks, Rob.
Meeting all the crew here, everybody who we're not just coming together because we like movies. That's what we're doing right now. But everybody else here, they're also down for what the idea of this festival is, right? To promote and to celebrate, Latino filmmakers, Latino culture, even the arts. We had a poetry reading a little while ago.
Oh, that was really cool.
We have live music up right now.
Yeah.
I say live music, but
there's
Abraham
art.
Counts as
we have
live
a gallery
music.
With art from artists.
That's right. We have an art exhibit here that we're looking at. So this is really a very varied and eclectic celebration here. And so this event happens every year.
Yep.
Usually in March.
Usually
right?
in March. Yep.
Yeah. So if you're in the Houston area, if you're in Texas, hell, if you're anywhere, come check it out.
Definitely.
Right? Get your tickets. So with that in mind, we're going to sign off because the noise is getting even louder here.
Don't forget to subscribe.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Of course, Film Shriek. You go to filmshriek.com. You can subscribe in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the podcast places. And you can even get new updates directly to your email inbox. So we'll make it easier for you. In the meantime, hey, this has been Rob and
Jesus.
And thanks again, man.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to go watch some new movies.